He does give a damn. Peter Franklin.
Hello.
The Gabby Cabbie.
Hello.
Tremendously tantalizing topics with a transatlantic twist.
Well, I know everything about everything.
Peter Franklin.
Hello.
Visit his website at gabby.com.
I mean, it's absolutely amazing.
But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the talk of New York. Peter Franklin.
Hello.
On Southside.
Kissy face.
Quite rightly so, too. He is back. It's been far, far, far too long a gap in all manner of wonderful ways. We say good morning, Peter. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning and live from the beautiful sunny streets of New York, where people today are anxiously awaiting a soccer game, which is an amazing thing because in the United States, most people don't give a hoot about soccer. But today, in approximately 4, 5, 6 hours, we're going to be playing a place called England, wherever the hell that is. Well, not in England, but we're playing a team called England. I don't know. Do you know any places
I think they're managed by an Italian, Fabio Capello.
Now, here's what's at stake today. If the United States should happen to win, okay, people in the United States will then become interested in soccer. Remember, you call it football. And the World Cup. So there happens to be an awful lot at stake today for the world of soccer, that is.
Ah, yes. Well, needless to say, Peter, our transatlantic connections are just working perfectly there, because that was indeed one of the focuses, one of the foci I wanted to actually raise with your good self, really, which is obviously, I mean, you had the World Cup there back in 1994. They've kind of moved on. The States have actually been doing rather good business.
Yeah, but
really.
That was, I think you're talking about Italy and...
Brazil.
Italy and Ireland. It wasn't the United States.
That's true, yes.
Okay, yeah. And the other thing is that what it will do is that it will completely disrupt the salary structure of soccer, because what you people pay the soccer players, although, you know, there's a few who make some bucks, is chump change compared to what we pay our athletes here.
Well, that's true, but of course you've got a bigger country, Peter, you know?
Well, and that's right, but so all of a sudden, this would be an opportunity for your athletes to start demanding even more money. So it will make some drastic changes, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens today. But I will tell you this, in New York City, for the first time that I can think of, an awful lot of people are going to be watching the telly at about 2 p.m. New York City time.
Yeah, exactly so.
I won't, because I'll be working my fingers to the bone. I'm giving some people a tour today, and because of that, I have to do what I have to do.
I suppose there's always radio. Are you allowed to have a radio in your cab?
Yeah, but I can't. How am I going to do it? I'm giving the people a tour of New York City. How can I be listening to the...
You see, this is the reason why over the years I can sort of hold up my hand and say, yes, I still haven't contacted those good fellow pizza people to actually arrange for Peter to come over here, but
that's okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just I tell you, everybody should just call them up and say, when are you bringing Peter back to the UK?
Exactly. It's very true. We have two fabulous co-presenters in the studio. We have Christina Cook, who is just about to head off to university, and Emma Robinson, who's just about to enter her final year at university. Christina, you were a bit bemused when we were talking about Peter, because you said, well, does he just drive a cab then?
Yeah, I just wondered what you actually do. Do you just, like, you've just said that you give tours, but is it also, like, just a taxi service and then you just talk
just,
to others
just
on,
a taxi
on,
service.
On the radio? Or?
I'm a Shakespearean actor and I'm in London, and this is a hoax that Alex has perpetuated for years. He trained me to be, you know, to talk like a New Yorker. But actually, I'm at the Old Vic or the Young Vic or whatever you call it. No, I'm in the taxi business in New York City. So, among other things, I sometimes drive the cab. I sometimes do tours. I sometimes do administrative things. I sometimes talk on the radio. So I am a man of many, many, many skills, I should like to think.
I'm tempted to use the term Renaissance man.
However, I would like to give you some advice. It's pointless to go to college or university. I mean, education is a waste of time. Books are a waste of time. What you should do is you should get a job at Tesco's and stay there for the rest of your life.
There we are.
And when they go bust, then you've got nothing to do.
Yeah. little vocational advice.
Exactly. You see, added bonus.
Right.
Emma, from your own point of view, any questions for Peter before we actually start talking about some true tales and so on?
Well, what's life like as a taxi driver in New York? Is it a bit hectic, or do you get some characters that come into your cab?
Yeah, no. I mean, first of all, I mean, if you admit that New York is probably the most interesting place on the face of the earth, and it really is. I mean, it just is. What can I tell you? We got 170 languages being spoken in New York City. We have 45,000 people who are classified as millionaires in New York City. We have the lowest crime rate of any city in the world. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on. So it's a very interesting place. And obviously for any taxi driver in New York, we have a total of 50,000. Just if you sit in the cab and listen to the conversations that are going on behind you, I mean, you could be having a diplomat from the UK, you could be having a CIA agent, you could be having Brad Pitt, you know, I mean, and just the regular people here have a tendency. Having said all that, I should like to point out to you and all your nice listeners that 50% of the people who currently live in New York City come from someplace else. You know, they come from cute little countries like England.
Cute.
It's very true. I appreciate that. I'm just looking at some of the history behind this England-USA game, and according to Simon Briggs in The Telegraph, as football's biggest improvers, the United States come into this tournament with little historical baggage. In most cases, their matches don't fit into an ongoing World Cup narrative, except, of course, when they play England. And, Peter, I'm surprised you didn't allude to the event 60 years ago when an American team led by PE instructor Walter Barr came up against Billy Wright's England in Brazil. No one was expecting a serious contest. The Daily Express wrote that it would be fair to give them three goals of a start. Yet despite dominating possession, England kept missing from the most inviting positions. The United States, by contrast, were reckoned to have mounted just two serious attacks in the match and scored from one of them.
Well, fantastic. But you see, also, it has a tremendous amount to do with marketing and sales promotion. I can remember in the United States when you couldn't give a ticket away for the National Football League. I can remember in the United States when you couldn't give a ticket away for the National Hockey League, but by very clever promoting and marketing, they've made those two sports into really big deals. So that's what I'm proposing here. And by the way, I said only if the United States wins. Even if the United States loses, I think we're going to be entering a new era of soccer in the United States. And the people in South Africa are very, very excited about it. And as a matter of fact, as you know, I do talk to a couple of other radio stations other than you. I've been doing quite a few reports this past week for radio stations in South Africa who wanted to know what was happening in New York. And I reassured them that they were very, very clever, that for the first time, they've put South Africa back on the map, because ever since they got their apartheid finished, we're free, nobody pays any attention to South Africa anymore, so they're back in the newspapers again now.
It's very true. Just looking at other sort of events that are taking place between the two countries, in June 1953 in New York, it was the United States 3, England 6. May 1964, New York, we had a 0-0 draw. In fact, no, we had the United States 0, England 10. I don't think that's likely to be repeated today. And then, of course, June 1993 in Massachusetts, the United States of America 2, England 0.
So, Alex, there's something else I want to point out, because, you know, I'm the man of truth, and that's why I'm your chief correspondent.
Exactly.
The media, who you know I detest, I mean, all over the world, your media, our media, who just shovel out crap day after day after day, have started a new bit now. According to reports that are appearing in your newspapers and reports that are appearing in our newspapers, Americans are angry at
BP,
you guys, because of the oil spill.
Very annoyed with us.
Barack Obama
wants somebody to actually shoot, you know.
That is crap. The average American is not angry at BP. They realize that accidents and mistakes happen. The average American is not angry at England. The media is trying to stir up trouble. Now they're saying that there's a backlash and that you people are angry at us people because we're angry at you people. I will tell you here and now, if you show me the guy on the Telegraph who said that, I will slap him silly on national television. It is a lie, a lie, a lie. It's not true at all.
Well,
I'd love to see that.
Exactly. I mean, as we said in the newspaper review earlier this morning, Rosa Prince, Fiona Govan and James Kirkup, Nick Clegg yesterday suggested that Barack Obama was engaged in a tit-for-tat diplomatic spat.
You know, he's an idiot. He's a politician, and that's what idiot politicians do. We're talking about regular people, aren't regular people. As a matter of fact, come to think, I hadn't even thought of that for a moment. You know, this morning, right after I finished talking to you, I have to take one of the vehicles in to get its brake linings fixed. And I just realized as I'm talking to you, I hadn't even been paying any attention, I'm going over to a BP service station to have it done.
Well, there we are.
So if the Gabby Cabby's not angry at BP, I don't know who is. You know, I mean, just it's nonsense. As a matter of fact, I put I don't generally write into newspapers, but I wrote a thing into the New York Times yesterday saying, frankly, that the two reporters who had written the article about the backlash in England and that you people now hate us because we hate you, I said the two reporters who wrote that in the New York Times were liars and had made it up. I didn't get a chance today to see if it's published in the Times today. I doubt that it will be.
It's a definite thought. So at least we're all still friends. It's a pity about the oil situation, but we're still friends.
It's an accident. You know, that's why the guy invented the eraser. Okay?
Exactly.
You know? I mean, it's very easy after the fact to say why you do and why you do. Listen, if you want to blame it on somebody, you can blame it on the environmentalists. Mm. And the reason for that is that BP wanted to put the well closer to our shores, where it would have been at a proper depth. Mm. Okay? The environmentalists insisted that the well be put out in the Gulf at a depth of 5,000 feet. That's a mile down before you start drilling. I mean, that's what started the whole mess off. So, I mean, you could really, you want to say that somebody was in the error, you would say that maybe the environmentalists should get their nose out of the oil business.
It's a different thought.
Now, having said all that, I should like to point out if there's anybody listening for BP, from BP, I'm available to do commercials.
Exactly. It's called inverting the whole thing, giving it a positive spin. What's the weather like in New York these days,
beautiful.
Peter?
Gorgeous today. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be in the high 70s. You'll have to translate that into your funny numbers. But that's absolutely perfect weather. It's not sweaty or hot, but it's really nice.
Much the same as on the East Coast, which is Middlesbrough, as far as our studio is based today. Emma, any other questions you want to throw in at the stage?
Well, I've never been to New York, but I think it's really interesting because obviously loads of films are filmed there, aren't they? I was just wondering, as a cab driver, is it annoying if there's always, like...
A movie star around every corner, I know.
Yeah,
people
like,
that he's had in the back of his cab. Yeah.
And, like, streets are closed.
The average person in New York lives, like... I mean, you know, there is a fast lane and there is glamour and all of that. But in New York City, the average person lives just like you folks do. For us, it's Little League baseball, going to church, having barbecues and things like that. So what you see in the movies and the television, I mean, that would be like me presuming that every cop in England is Inspector Morse, every lady in England is Mrs. Bucket, you know, I mean, that type of thing. Again, that's the telly and the media. Anybody coming to New York City can live here quite comfortably. As a matter of fact, if you were to give me a picture of your house and a little folder about your lifestyle, someplace in the greater New York City area, I could duplicate it exactly.
Right. There we are. Yeah. Point to ponder on when you go international.
People wouldn't be talking funny like you do.
but we put our plums and our T's together just to actually ensure we can enunciate clearly and precisely.
Yeah, I can only understand every other word she says.
Well, there we are. Bless her.
Sorry.
She was going through
agony. The bottom line is, Alex, if she's a good kisser, who cares what she says,
Charming.
I was simply going to allude to the fact that Emma's mother is a passionate aficionado of Elvis Presley.
Yes, we've been to Chris.
And so is my wife. And as a matter of fact, we have something in the United States called satellite radio, which you have to pay for. Okay, and they have different channels. And one of the channels that they have, which would drive you crazy, is just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Elvis Presley songs.
I'd love
so
it.
Whenever we are in a vehicle, since it is portable, we take it with us and we listen. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Rocking all the time. Yeah, fantastic. Right. Yeah, jail house rock.
I have actually been to Memphis, Tennessee in Graceland. My mum forced me to go and do a tour of his house and his grave and his recording studio.
No, he's not dead.
My mum says that too. My mum says he's still living in his garage.
He's been a number of times and he's not dead. And I asked him why he was doing it and he said he just got to a point where it was too much for him and he wanted to be low key. So no, Elvis is alive and well, and I pick him up every Thursday morning at 8 a.m.
They are. You heard it from the Gabby Cabby. It has to be true. It's the absolute truth. We noticed that Barack Obama was coaching, but he's given the American team a good send-off for this match. He sort of had them all at the White House, etc. How are things with Barack? I mean, obviously, he's seen through his health changes, or I think he seems to have in the States.
His popularity is dropping.
Oh, dear.
And the reason why its popularity is dropping is everybody hanging on to their chairs now. He was elected because he was black, okay? And that meant that every black in the United States voted for him blindly, and every guilt-ridden white voted for him blindly. And this incompetent man who had really accomplished nothing in life before becoming president has proceeded to come in and disrupt our society, insult you people. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, they couldn't even get the Queen's birthday right. He sends her a card on the wrong day. So, I mean, the guy is just a disaster. So now, this all means, you realize, Alex, that I'm either a racist or a Republican. Well, I'm neither. I just don't like the man. And as a matter of fact, as much as I detested Bush, I said on the radio all over the world that you may not believe it, folks, but you're going to wish Bush is back.
Okay? I don't think I'd go that far, Peter. But clearly,
you ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, we have.
This guy is a disaster.
At least we have a nice little blue-colored beast with yellow spots running our country at this stage. You know, so that's an interesting.
Well, but thing. I mean, even this, when Gordy was over here, he dissed him. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, what this guy does is he picks on our friends and he kisses our enemies. But anyway, he was a senator who had been elected. Oh, I'm going into a tirade here. He came from Cook County in Illinois, which is the most corrupt, according to the FBI, political party in the United States. He didn't even finish his term as senator, so he hadn't even really done the job. He's never really had a job. And here's the final thing, and then this is really, I find, curious. He is the first president in the history of the United States who has not released his college records. They're sealed, which is strange. Why doesn't he want anybody to know about his college records? And number two, he refuses to present his birth certificate.
But he was born
in... anybody brings that question up...
Hawaii.
I don't know why.
No, he was... It was Hawaii.
Right now, there's a guy at the London Times who's writing an article that's saying Peter is a racist for bringing that up.
I can't believe that.
I find it unbelievably weird that this man will not let the world see his birth certificate. And the answer you get is he was born in Hawaii. Okay, if he was born in Hawaii, why doesn't he just show the birth certificate? Matter of fact, he could probably sell copies of it and make a fortune. You know, because the rumor that's flying around, which may or may not be true, is he was actually born in Kenya. Well, that presents a little problem, because if he was actually born in Kenya, he can't be president of the United States. But I guarantee you, Alex, I'm going to tell you something. Go to London today, walk into the London Times, and say, hi, my name is Alex, and I'd like to see a copy of Obama's birth certificate. Do you guys have one? And the London Times people will start screaming at you that you're a racist.
Yeah.
You know. Well, by the way, do you have to be a citizen of England or Scotland or Wales to be Prime Minister?
Do you know, I'm not sure whether you do, actually. I don't think, because we don't have a constitution. It's an unwritten constitution, which means basically we make it up as we go along, because things proceed by convention.
Well, but you have to be a citizen to run for Parliament, MP.
I think that's a fair line. You can't be a convicted criminal to actually run for the first.
No, because my thought is I'm going to come over and run for the MP from your district.
Do you know that could be an interesting line? I think we could be onto something here. I think there could be something to be developed in all sorts of ways. Needless to say, we have to put a little caveat to say that sometimes the views of our contributors
listen,
do
you
not.
You got more, and I know this is going to sound like I'm stroking you, but you don't give me any money, so I can. You got more integrity and more class in your broadcasting in your little finger than some of these fat cats on the BBC and the London Times.
Well, I'd best not say that we don't disagree with all of our...
Alex, again, and this is like a personal conversation on the air, I am the world's leading authority on broadcasting, okay? There is nobody on the face of the earth who knows every single broadcaster like I do, okay? Whether it be Chris Moyles or
basically, he speaks very highly of you, does Mr. Moyles. He's in the back of his cab, in fact.
Well, I mean, so I know broadcasting.
This is true.
So if I'm giving you a compliment, it's worth its weight.
Well, I'm
there. You are.
There am I.
So you can enjoy that compliment for the rest of the day.
In fact, I'll make sure that goes well into the podcast feature that we're doing with our new webcast things and so on and so forth.
Right, and then you can make a disc of it and play it over and over.
When I'm feeling a bit low, you know, I'll say, well, yeah. Are there any other true tales you'd like to raise for us, Peter, as we head off into the wild blue yonder? Anything that's
I think I've ranted and raged enough. even though I smack the BBC around, I'll give it a little bit of an advertisement right now. Tomorrow morning, I am going to the Statue of Liberty to interview for the BBC the guy who actually runs, or girl, I'm not sure, who actually runs the Statue of Liberty, to be played on the BBC next week. And the reason for that is that next week is Flag Day in the United States, so it's a very patriotic, you know, time in the United States. And I thought it would be nice if you huddled masses could hear from the person who actually runs the Statue of Liberty. So I'll be doing that.
Very much. So I think we might actually follow that up and do a couple of sequels, actually, because that's great stuff. It's always nice the BBC, they can pioneer some stuff. We pioneer stuff and we share. It's a wonderful scenario. Peter, what's your prediction for the game today? I mean, I appreciate you might not be able to listen to it.
I think the United States could win in an upset, only because people have a tendency sometimes to come up to the situation. And the American team is so revved up and they realize so much is at stake that that's maybe, or could be, the finest game. The problem is that we've already been told that the umpire, or whatever you call him, is a terrible man who's gotten into all kinds of trouble and problems and this, that, and the other thing. He's been voted the worst. He was suspended once. I mean, this is the story that are dribbling back to us. Everybody's saying, who's this guy?
He's
but
Brazilian.
We're running the assumption that the English team is honest, so even if this guy is kind of corrupt, we have nothing to worry about.
That's very true. Well, as I said earlier, I think it'll either be 1-1 or 4-0 to England. I think that's my... So I think it's either 1-1 or 4-0
to England. Well, the first thing we got to figure out is, what does nil mean?
Well, there you are, exactly. Strange stuff. Peter, it's been fantastic. Delighted to touch base with your good self. I've got a couple of final questions for you. Would you like to throw them at Mr. Franklin, please?
Yes. Peter, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
Absolutely.
You understood me okay, then?
Thinking about how you are dressed, you know, I'm thinking, is she wearing a long skirt, a short skirt?
I'm not going to go there, to be honest.
She might not be wearing any clothes at all, Peter. It's so hot over here.
It was mentioned earlier.
Emily,
I don't understand why I'm getting picked on.
Because you are, Emma. So carry on. And you're blonde, so there we are.
Great. And, are we able to chat with you again in the near future?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? I look forward to these chats. I certainly do.
Thank you very much.